What's up, Porch? How we doing tonight? You guys out there just want to make sure. How we doing? Okay. Hey, good to see you. If this is your first time ever at the Porch, welcome. I am glad you made it. Thank you for trusting us with your Tuesday night. My name is Timothy Atik, and I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Watermark on Sundays, as well as here on Tuesdays at the Porch. I want to give a special shout out to all of our Porch Live locations tuning in at different places in the nation. I'm thinking about Porch Live Cincinnati tonight, Porch Live Tulsa, Porch Live Scottsdale. So glad y'all are tuning in. I also just want to give a special hello to our deaf and hard of hearing friends that are in the room tonight. So I'm just going to try something new out tonight. I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm going to give it a whirl, okay? We are glad that you are here. Thanks for coming. Hey, I want you to know, let's be clear, if you have any friends that are deaf or hard of hearing, they belong here at the Porch. They belong here, not just on one night, every Tuesday night. So make sure that they know that we have a place for them to come and worship with us. So several years ago, my wife and I, we made a very, very unfortunate decision that I want to share with you tonight. We chose to try and fly on an airplane with a small child. And that's it. That was a poor decision. You should never make that decision ever in your life. Because here's the reality. When you are traveling with an infant, you are basically handing that child all of the control. And your trip just became one big coin toss, that is. Like, it's a game. You're either going to come out a big-time winner or a big-time loser. And Kat and I, we came out massive losers. We were traveling from Austin to Birmingham, Alabama, with our son, our first son, Noah, who's about 8 months old at the time. And we came out major losers. It was the type of thing that when we landed in Birmingham, we felt like we had flown to Europe and had jet lag. We were contemplating like only vacationing from that point forward in either Waco or San Antonio for about the next 18 years because it was so miserable. We were on the flight, and for the majority of the flight, Noah was just losing his ever-loving mind, and we were trying everything that we could to just help him get comfortable and calm down. And that just wasn't working. And so it was a frantic situation. And because it was a frantic situation, I was frantic and Catherine was frantic. So we were frantic individually and then we were frantic collectively. And I guess that people around us could tell because at the end of the flight, a man slid a note through the seat to me. And I opened up the note, and on the note was a drawing. And the drawing was of a triangle, and at the top of the triangle was the word God. And then in the two corners was husband and wife. And then there was a note that said, the closer you get to God, the closer you will get to each other. Now, that's an interesting note to get when you're a pastor. I don't know what you do with that. I was like, no duh, signed Pastor Timothy Atik, and I folded it up and handed it back. No, I'm just kidding. But when I think about that experience, here's the reality. That guy was watching us, and at least in that moment, that guy could not see Jesus at work in my life. That's what you call, at least for that moment, that's what you call hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is knowing the truth and not living the truth. At least in that moment, I was struggling as a pastor with hypocrisy. I was a person that knew Jesus, but I wasn't living like I did. I knew the truth, but I wasn't living the truth. There was information here, but there was no application here. And I tell you that because, hey, here's the reality. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we're all going to have times in our lives where we struggle with hypocrisy. And if you're not a Christian and you're like, that's why I'm not a Christian. Because when you look at different Christians, you're like, sometimes what you say you believe doesn't match how you live. And so I'll just apologize on behalf of all Christians. It's something that we're going to be working on for the rest of our lives. Like, we never claim to be perfect. We only claim to know the one who is perfect, and that's Jesus Christ, who came and he was perfect in our place, and he made a way when there was no way for very imperfect people to be made right with a perfect God. But the reality is that we're all going to have times where what we know doesn't match how we live. So if you think back to science in high school, if you think about the classroom and you think about the lab, if Tuesday nights are the classroom and the rest of the week is the lab where we go out and live what we learned in the classroom, sometimes we struggle in the lab. Interestingly, as we step back into the book of Ecclesiastes tonight and we listen to the wisest man to ever walk the face of the earth besides Jesus Christ, as we listen to the words of King Solomon, you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, hey, the problem goes even deeper. The issue isn't just that we struggle in the lab. We can actually struggle in the classroom. So we don't just struggle with hypocrisy sometimes when we go out and live out the rest of our weeks. We can actually struggle with hypocrisy doing what we're doing right now, like when we gather together on Sundays for worship or we gather together on Tuesday nights for the porch. And so tonight is going to be a very unique type of message. Like, it might throw some of you off because you're kind of looking for the truth that you need to go out and live, and I'm actually going to talk about the truth that you need to come in and apply when you come to the porch or you come to church. Like, I want to talk about Solomon as is going to instruct us in how we live here. Because here's the reality. God cares a lot about what is happening right now on Tuesday night. He cares a lot about what is going on with you in this moment. He cares deeply about it. And so tonight might feel a little bit uncomfortable because we're going to talk about the hypocrisy that might even be happening in our lives and in our hearts right now, right this second. And that's okay. Because while we want to identify the hypocrisy, like, we have an opportunity even in this moment to pivot and move towards authenticity in relating to God even right now. So because this is going to be a different type of message, here's what I want to do. I want to ask everyone in the room to take a moment and just pray for yourself. Just real quick, take a second and just say, God, would you speak to me tonight? Just pray those words. God, please speak to me tonight. Lord, I pray that you would do just that, that our ears would be open, that our hearts would be receptive to whatever you want to say to us. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you're here and you're not a Christian, this is actually a great night for you to be here because tonight you're really going to at least get an explanation for why we're even doing this. Like, why thousands of young adults chose to get all of their steps in just walking from the parking garage to this building tonight. Like, what's the point? Why are we doing this? You're going to find that out right now. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we're going to be looking tonight at verses 1 through 7. King Solomon is going to address how we worship when we come together on Tuesdays and Sundays. Here's what he says. Verse 1 of chapter 5, he says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth, therefore let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It's better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity, but God is the one you must fear. Solomon is targeting our hypocrisy when we come together to worship. So tonight what I want to do is I want to look at this passage and give you five keys to moving away from hypocrisy and moving towards authenticity when we come together to worship. Okay, the first key is this. True worship ascribes worth to God, not man. True worship, when we come together, when we sing, when we open up the Bible, true worship ascribes worth to God, not man. Look again at what Solomon says in verse 1. He says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Why is he saying that? All he's saying is, hey, when you come to the porch on Tuesday nights, think about what you're doing. Be careful. Take caution. Don't go into the porch flippantly. Why? Because God cares what is happening here. God cares about it. God cares about the quality of our worship. And then he goes on in verse 1, and look at what he says. The wording is very important. He says, to draw near to listen is better. It's better than what? It's better than to offer the sacrifice of fools. And so Solomon is basically saying, hey, there's two different ways to worship on a Tuesday night or a Sunday morning. And one is much better than the other. The better way, the true worship, is one where when you come on Tuesday night, you are drawing near. The wording is, you are drawing near to listen. The question you should be asking right now is, to listen to who? Like, just evaluate, who did you come here tonight to hear? Like, it is our conviction here at the porch. And I think what Solomon is getting at is when you gather together, you come with the conviction that God is here. God is here, and he wants to speak to you. Did you come tonight with the expectation that the God of the universe actually wants to speak into your heart tonight? The reason that we teach the Bible every single week is that we believe that this book is actually the Word of God. Like, God went to great lengths to give it to us so that he could speak to us through it as we open it and study it together. And so we are convinced that God is here. He wants to meet with us. He wants to speak to you and to me. And yet we can often come together and worship for other reasons than to hear from God. I remember years ago when I was in my early 20s, my best friend and I, we decided to drive out to Denton to a church where Tommy Nelson, who spoke at the beginning of the Ecclesiastes series, we drove out to his church. We had heard a lot of great things about Tommy Nelson. We totally wanted to hear him, so we made the 45-minute drive out there, and we sat through the worship, and then someone other than Tommy Nelson got up to speak. And when that guy got up, we got up. And now, like, I cringe thinking about it, doing what I'm doing right now. Because that guy got up, everyone is seated, everything's quiet, and we're like, yeah, it's time to go to dinner. So we stood up and we left. Why? We weren't there to hear from God. We were there to hear from Tommy Nelson. So my question to you is, who did you come here tonight to hear from? Did you come to hear from me? Did you come to hear from the porch band? Some of y'all are like, I didn't come to hear from anyone. I came to meet someone, and her name or his name is not Jesus. And that's fine. Like, if that's what got you here, hey, I'm glad you made it. And I hope that that works out for you. But now that you're here, let me just encourage you to trade up. Trade up to an even better meeting. Like, trade up from something natural to something supernatural, where the Lord of Lords and King of Kings actually wants to meet you tonight and wants to speak to your heart. Who did you come to hear? I'll just say this. One of my concerns with your generation is that we live in a time where Christians are being celebratized. Like, we are turning normal followers of Jesus into celebrities. But I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. Like, when I look in the book of Acts, which is where the people who started the church, like, if anyone was going to be a Christian celebrity, it would be the guys that got this thing kicked off. It's the guys that Like Peter, when he spoke, 3,000 people became Christians just like that, one message. And yet when I look at these guys aren't being exalted. These guys are getting stoned. And I'm not talking about that type of stone. Some of y'all, for a minute there, you were like, the Bible has never made more sense to me than right now. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about rocks being thrown. Enough of them that the people throwing them think that the people they're throwing them at are dead. And then those people that they think are dead, once the stone throwers are gone, they just get up and move to the next town and keep preaching the gospel. And many of them ended up dying for preaching the gospel. And yet we find ourselves in this point in history where there's a lot of podcasting, there's a lot of following and reposting, and there's a lot of church hopping where it's like, where are the best speakers speaking? And you hear that someone's going to be here, and so you go and listen to that. And there's a lot of listening, and there's a lot of celebratizing. But there's little life change. And so let me just encourage you, don't turn messengers into messiahs. They are terrible messiahs. They are sinners just like you and me. They are trying to follow Jesus one day at a time just like you and me. God has given them something to steward. God has entrusted them with a gift, and that gift exists for them to glorify Christ. And so join them as they seek to glorify Christ, but don't glorify them as they glorify Christ. Don't be more in tune with what your favorite Christian celebrity is saying than what the Word of God says. Because in the end, when you stand before Jesus, it's not going to work for you to be like, well, you know what JP says? Jesus is going to be like, yeah, I know him. Do you know me? Okay. So what's the better way? What did we say? We said true worship ascribes worth to God, not man. The word worship descends from a Saxon word that eventually became the word worth-ship, which I think is really telling about what true worship is, because true worship is ascribing the proper worth to God. So when we come to the porch to worship, here's what we're saying. We're saying, Jesus Christ, you're worth it. You're worth it for me to park in that parking garage on the third story and walk down all those stairs and across the parking lot. You're worth it. You're worth it for me to fight traffic. You're worth it for me to skip dinner because I was running late out of work. You're worth it for me to put work on hold for a couple of hours. You're worth it for me to come into this place and find a seat. You're worth it for me to tune everything else out in my life. You're worth it for me to put my phone on do not disturb. You are worth it for me to lift my hands in praise or to get on my knees. You are worth all of it. That's who you are. You are worthy of it. You are worth it. That's what we want to do when we gather together here. We're not just here to like have a big event to see how many people we can get into this place. Because if we all gather together and we all snap a picture that we were here, but no one seeks Jesus more, this was a royal waste of time. And so we are here to meet with God. Here's the reality. If the God of the universe wants to speak to me, I don't want to hear from anyone else. And I hope that that's true for you as well. Think about this. What will your story be tonight? Like when you leave here and you go home, if you walk in and your roommate was like, what'd you do tonight? Like your story could be, you know what? I had an encounter with the God of the universe. What have you been up to? That's a pretty good story. It's a pretty good night. True worship ascribes worth to God, not man. Number two. True worship has no autopilot. True worship has no autopilot. Like, we are not trying to compete with Tesla here. Tesla is trying to make life efficient. You can push a button and the car will drive itself so you can do whatever you want. Autopilot enables you to multitask, to do other things. That doesn't work when it comes to worship. True worship has no autopilot. Look again at Solomon's wording in verse 1. He says, to draw near to listen is better than what? It's better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, which begs the question, what's the sacrifice of fools? Well, the sacrifice of fools is simply the opposite of drawing near to listen. So if God is here and he wants to meet with us, if he wants to speak to us, then the sacrifice of fools must be going to all the effort to come into this place and leaving. Like you walk across the parking lot, you find your seat, you sit for an hour and a half, and then you walk back across the parking lot and you sit through traffic and you never meet with God. That's the sacrifice of fools. Here's the reality. It's a lot easier than you think to offer the sacrifice of fools. I am a pastor, and I am confessing that over the years, there have been plenty of times where I've gone to church and gotten nothing out of it, and it has been 100% my fault. Because the worship has been great. That's not the issue. People have been preaching the word of God faithfully. They've been proclaiming the gospel. The issue hasn't been with what's going on. It's been with what's going on with me. So what can it look like to offer the sacrifice of fools here at the porch? Well, what it looks like is you're coming in hot. The first song has started. And so it takes you kind of the first song to text your friends and to find your seat and to just get settled. And then the second song gets going. And you click into autopilot worship pretty quickly, which is amazing because you will be singing every word to every song while your mind is somewhere totally different. Like you can be singing every word and you're like, oh my gosh, what? I've got so much to do tonight and I'm way behind on laundry and I haven't eaten, so where am I going to eat tonight? It really bothers me that she said that and I can't believe that he did that and she's wearing that. That's crazy and he's good looking. And your brain can be everywhere while you are singing every word to every song. That's autopilot worship. And then we pray and then I come up and I've got about 1 or 2 minutes to captivate your attention before some of y'all will be like, you know, he's not that funny tonight, and I don't know if I'm really feeling what he's talking about, so maybe this is a good time for me to leave because I still do have all that work, and it would be nice to get a jump on my laundry. And if you stick it out, and I pray, and then we get into the response song, you're like, now's my time to get a jump on traffic. If I don't leave now and get out of here early, I'm going to be sitting in a line out of that parking garage. And so from the time you got here to the time you leave, nothing happens. There's no connection with God. What a waste of a night. What a waste of a night. It's not worth it. There's something so much better here for you. Like we're just inviting you to reject autopilot worship. Why? Because the Lord of Lords and King of Kings is here. He wants to meet with us. He wants to speak to you. So we're just inviting you in to more. Number 3. True worship is honest. It's honest. Look back at what Solomon says in verses 2 and 3. He says this, "Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few, for a dream comes with much business and a fool's voice with many voices." So Solomon is now like targeting the words that actually come out of our mouths when we are singing songs together on a Tuesday night or on Sunday morning. And here is his point. Because you are talking to God, think before you speak. Because God actually cares about the words coming out of your mouth. Like he cares what we say in this moment. God is most glorified when what comes out of our mouth on Tuesday nights or Sunday mornings is honest. That we aren't saying things that aren't actually true. But here's the thing. If we're not careful, then we might find ourselves in an emotional moment, just saying something that we don't actually believe. It's kind of like this. Like some of y'all might find yourself in a dating relationship where y'all kind of jump head first into this thing And it gets very serious very quickly, where you guys are spending all of your time together every single day, and it gets very physical and very emotional very quickly. And so some of y'all might find yourself a month into dating, and it's late at night, and you're having this very physical, very emotional moment, and the only thing that seems right to say in that moment is, I love you. And as it comes out of your mouth, you're like, no. But it's already out. And then in the morning, you wake up and check your phone, and it's like, I love you, my perfect man. And you're like, gosh, that escalated quickly. And you said something in an emotional moment that you didn't actually believe. Some of you are like, you are in my head. I can't help you with that situation, but when it comes to what's happening in here, maybe I can. Come down afterward. We'll talk about it. But here's the thing. The same thing can happen here. I mean, we've got this massive LED screen. We've got lights. We've got smoke. We've got an amazing band that leads us, amazing worship leaders. It's loud. There's energy. You look around, and everyone's got their hands raised. And in that moment, it can be so emotional that you find yourself singing words to songs that you don't actually believe. I mean, just think about what we have sang tonight. Like one of the songs that we sang tonight, here's what we said. We said, oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. And more than anything you can do, I just want you. I just want you. Is that like nothing else? It says nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Is that what you really believe? Like, I don't want anything else. Like, Jesus, if you don't give me another thing in my life, if you don't give me a boyfriend or girlfriend, if you don't give me a job, it doesn't matter because the thing that I want most is you. Or maybe the right words, instead of nothing else, it was something else will do, but it's not you. You know, maybe that was more what we, if we were honest. Or like this, and I don't know if this is going to connect with you guys or not, but over the years, do you want to know what song people have messaged me, asked me about? The most, asking if we could sing it. In the different ministries I've led, do you want to know what the number one song is? Over the years of working with college students, do you know what it is? It's the song Oceans. I don't know if you remember that song, Oceans. Some of y'all, if we sang Oceans, you would be wrecked. You would just be weeping. You'd just be on the floor. But I want you to think about what you're singing when you sing Oceans. Here's the words. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Do you understand what you're saying? You're saying, God, I want you to take me to a place where I don't know what's happening. It's very, like, it's unpredictable. It can feel unstable. I can't see the result. I can't see how things are going to turn out. I can't see if all my dreams are going to be fulfilled. But I'm there, and you're there, and that's all that matters, and that's all I want. I just want to be led by you. I just want you. But right now, I just want you to lead me where my trust is without borders. Is that really what you want? If so, awesome. That's a great song to sing. That's a great prayer to pray. But what we don't want is you've got the lights and you've got the screens, and so you're like, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, let's do it. And then you walk out and you're like, not exactly that. You know what I wonder? Sometimes the most worshipful thing we can do during the time of singing is to just be honest with God. Like, to just look at the words and to just say, God, I don't think I'm there yet. but I want to get there. Or maybe, God, you know what? I'm singing this not because it's true now, but because I'm singing it in faith that you, by the power of your Spirit, could help it become true. Or what would it look like, honestly, for you to say, God, I need you to know for the last 10 minutes, I've only been thinking about what other people are thinking about me, because we all think that everyone is always looking at us. And so honestly, I've been singing and worshiping for the approval of other people, that other people would look at me and think that I'm one of the spiritual people in the room. Or what would it look like to just be honest and say, God, I'm playing games with you because I want something from you. So I feel like if I get here and I go all the effort to be here and I sing passionately, then you're finally going to give me what I'm asking for. Or maybe, what if you were just honest and say, God, I feel so much guilt. I feel so much shame. I feel so unworthy of being here. I feel like you don't want to have anything to do with me. So how could I even begin to sing these songs? Would you do something in my life? Would you forgive me? Would you wash me clean? Would you give me a new start? That's honest. That is worship. That is true worship. Solomon's message is, hey, think before you speak. Think before you speak. Why? Look back at the wording. What does he say? He says, be not rash. This is verse 2. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. Why? For God is in heaven and you are on earth. He's just saying, hey, don't be too casual when you're talking to the God of the universe. Sometimes the best thing we can do when we come into a moment like this is to just pause. That's why every Tuesday night, I don't know if you've noticed it, but one of the worship leaders, whenever we start, they always just give a moment for you to just be quiet before the Lord. Why? It's a great opportunity to just remind yourself of who you're meeting with. You're reminding yourself of who you're talking to. So it's good to remind yourself that our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's a perfect Father who is loving and forgiving, and he delights in meeting with his children. He's Jesus. He's Savior. He's friend. God is Holy Spirit, which means he's counselor and helper. And at the exact same time, Jesus is also the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the God that we're meeting with is the same God that the nation of Israel met with at the base of Mount Sinai. I don't know if you've ever read this in the Old Testament, but God speaks from the mountain. And the nation of Israel hears God speak audibly, and for them it is a near-death experience. They run to Moses and they're like, if God speaks again, I don't think we're going to live. So here's the deal. We trust you. You go talk to God for us. Good luck with that. You go talk to him and then you come back and tell us what he says. It's the same God that John in Revelation, when he sees Jesus, he falls on his face and he's like, I think I'm dead. And Jesus is like, you're not dead, man. Get up. It's the same God. He's loving, forgiving, gracious. And at the same time, he is holy, holy, holy. And so I'm going to put this on the screen because I don't want you to miss it. Okay? Because God is holy. Because he is holy. Because he is holy, holy, holy. Let your words be few and sincere instead of many and fake. Okay, because God is holy, 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 let your words be few and sincere instead of many and fake. Number 4, true worship impacts tomorrow. It changes tomorrow. Look at what Solomon goes on to say in verse 4. It says, when you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It's better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin. Don't say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, do what you say you're going to do and do it quickly. So here's what's really happening. Don't miss this. This is so important. There's going to be times where you come into this place and you're meeting with God and you're going to sense that God is calling you to do something very important. He's going to call you to do something important. So maybe even tonight you sense like you came into this place kind of one foot in and one foot out of Christianity. Maybe you've put Jesus on the back burner of your life and you just sense that Jesus is reaching into your life saying, you're with me. Go all in with me. Surrender fully to me. I want you. And I want you, all of you, to come with me. Or maybe you sense that God is reaching in just saying, it's time to get out of that toxic, unhealthy relationship. Or maybe you sense that God is calling you to go on the mission field. Or maybe you sense that God is calling you to forgive someone that you've harbored bitterness, anger, and resentment towards for years. Maybe you sense that he's finally calling you out of a addiction to pornography, so you need to go to Regen on Monday night or go to Courageous Hope if you're a woman who's experience sexual abuse, or maybe you need to go to one of the other ministries here, divorce care if you're a single mom in the room, or grief share if you've lost a loved one. Or maybe he's calling you out of isolation and he's calling you to membership here at Watermark or to get into a community group. And here's the thing, God, in moments like this, he can be very clear. And as he speaks into our lives, we might find ourselves in the moment saying yes, like, yes, God, I want to go all in with you. Yes, I agree. I need to get out of this relationship. Yes, God, I want to do what you're asking me to do. But if we don't go and do it quickly, then a fog can kind of roll into our minds and our enemy, Satan, can begin to lie to us and he can tell us things like, can you really imagine your life without him or her in it? Can you imagine how much you would be acquiescing if you went and forgave that person who hurt you? Can you imagine what people would think of you if you confessed that sin? And so we might find ourselves in a place where a yes in here becomes a no out there. So just think real quick, is there anything that you've already agreed with God on at some point in the past, like God has called you to do something and you said yes to it in a moment like this, and yet the yes in here became a no out there? If there's anything that comes to mind, look, there is grace. You don't need to feel shame. But my encouragement to you is to just take seriously the words of verse 4. Let me read it again. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. Pay what you vow. Do what you say that you are going to do. You know what unbelievers need to see in Christians? Like, I think that a lot of people who don't know Jesus, they don't want to know Jesus because they look at the Christians and they see hypocrisy. But do you want to know what the unbelievers at your work or at your gym or at your apartment complex need to see? You know what they need to see? They need to see Jesus changing your life. I'm not talking about you just going out and trying to muscle up and be better. No, I'm talking about you every day just surrendering to Jesus, you leaving here tonight just saying yes to Jesus and whatever he's calling you to. That begins to change you. When I say that true worship impacts tomorrow, I'm talking about getting up tomorrow in your yes tonight still being a yes in the morning. Unbelievers need to see that Jesus actually is in the business of changing lives. Because when unbelievers look into your life and they see more peace, more joy, more selflessness, more freedom, then an invitation to the porch or an invitation to churches, it's no longer an invitation to come hear music and a message. It's an invitation to meet Jesus who is in the business of changing lives. The final key to stepping away from hypocrisy and taking a step towards authenticity in a moment like this is this: true worship is how we say thank you to Jesus. It's how we say thank you to Jesus. I just want to be very clear. Like, the goal, this message, I told y'all from the beginning, this is going to be a unique message. It's going to feel different because we're talking about what we're doing right now. My goal of this message isn't to introduce more restrictions into our worship. It's to introduce more reverence, more gratitude, and more authenticity. So remember why Jesus went to the cross. This is the key. Remember why Jesus Christ went to the cross. And if you're not a Christian, here it is. This is the point of Christianity. The point of Christianity is not bad people trying to become good people or moral people trying to be morally superior to other people. That's not Christianity. This is Christianity, 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ, Jesus Christ, also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. The righteous, that's Jesus Christ, perfect Son of God. The unrighteous, that's us, imperfect human beings. Why? Why did he do that? Why did Jesus go to the cross and suffer? Which means he went to the cross and he was punished for all of our sins, all of our imperfection. He did it that he might bring us to God. That's it. That's the reality. No one is born right with God. And nobody gets right with God by just trying harder. Because imperfect people cannot get themselves right with a perfect God. And the great news is that a perfect God left heaven and came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. He lived the perfect life that we couldn't. And he died a perfect death. And the reason I say it was a perfect death is because it was perfectly suitable as a replacement for all of the imperfection of anyone who had put their trust in Jesus. And then he walked out of a tomb, conquering our sin and death, making a way when there was no way. This is the beauty of Christianity. This is the beauty of Jesus. He's made a way for imperfect people to come into a place like this and to stretch out our hands and to worship God and to hear from God, for God, the God of the universe, to delight in us as his children. And the beauty of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is even in the moments, even on the Tuesday nights, where we just go through the motions mindlessly and we're kind of offering the sacrifice of fools. You know what the beauty of the cross is? Is that every moment is a new moment with Jesus. Every moment is a new moment with Jesus. God is quick to forgive. And he's quick to welcome you into deeper intimacy and fellowship with him. So, hey, here's the reality. If you've been tuned out for the last hour and 20 minutes, God still wants to speak to you tonight. This is a moment now for you to meet with God. Solomon finishes the passage by simply saying this. He just ties it up. Verse 7, he says, "For when dreams increase and words grow many, there's vanity. But God is the one you must fear." All he's saying is, look, when you just go through the motions mindlessly, babbling on, just moving your mouth, going through the motions, you know what that is? That's vanity. You know what that means? It means that is frustratingly empty. It's like trying to hug a cloud. You're looking for satisfaction. You're looking for fulfillment, and you're not going to find it. What's the key? True worship. Fear God. It means come into this place. Believe God is here, and he wants to meet with you. So here's how we're going to end tonight. It's going to look a lot like last week. I'm going to pray in just a minute, and then when I say amen, here's what you need to know. You are free to go, but you're also free to stay. Like, you're free to go, and if you're ready to go, when I say amen, you totally can. I would just ask that you leave quietly so that anyone who wants to stay and worship for a little bit can worship. And if you want to stay, the band's going to come, the band's going to lead us, and you have the freedom to raise your hands or to get on your knees, to sit in your seat and pray, to just do business with the Lord. Like, if you need a quieter place to worship, you can go up those stairs and out those doors into the prayer chapel, and you can just sit in a quieter place, meet with God. If you need to come down front and pray with someone, like, we'll have people down front. If you need to go out to the welcome desk and say, look, I don't have a Bible. Like, if God speaks to us through the word, I want that. We'd love to give you one for free tonight. If you don't have a Bible, let us give you one. Maybe tonight you're going to walk out there and you're going to finally sign up for Launch, because Launch is an opportunity not just to meet people, but it's an extended weekend of just meeting with God together. Maybe you just need help taking your next step with Jesus. Like you need to talk one-on-one with someone who can just help you take your next step with the church or with the community group. You can go out that door and up those stairs to the loft, which will be our next steps. Like, we just want to help. This is a place for us to meet with God. And so I'll pray. And then the time is yours to worship. Lord Jesus, you're worthy of everything, Lord. I thank you that thousands of young adults have gone to all the effort they have to get into this room. But since they're here, Lord, I pray that every one of them would meet with you. That God, in your kindness, you'd just speak to their hearts, that they would sense that you're meeting with them. If there's anyone here who doesn't feel worthy of that, I pray that they would experience your grace and your forgiveness tonight, that they would know that no one is too far gone, and there is no one that can outrun your love for them tonight. So come and have your way in our lives. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.